Welcome to the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Pran Govinda Prabhuji in the call. We are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 24 chapter 348 onwards. Prabhuji, please take over the call. Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances and glories to Guru and Gauranga.
Jai. जय शिल प्रभुपाद की जय पंचाकल्प तुर्विश्व कृपा सिंधवे वचवतीतानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमः हरे कृष्णा वेलकम टू चैतन्य चरितामृत ब्यूटिफुल नरेशन एक्सप्लेनेशन एंड ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद सो वी आर सर्विंग Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text 348 onwards. Before that, we are reciting our spiritual invocation. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Daita Chanda, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Daita Chanda, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Text 348. When we have this kind of verses, we follow different melody. Gaurendrasya java vibhushana manitekta jaridham sriyam rupasya graja esa eva taranim vairagya lakshmim dade antar bhakti Tirasena purna ridayo vajje bodu takriti shaivale pihitam mahasara iva priti padastad vidam. Srila Prabhupada gives the synonyms Gaura Indrasya of the ruler of Gaura Desh, Bengal. Sabha of the parliament, Vibhushan, fundamental money, the gem, Tekta, relinquishing, Jo, one who, Ridham, opulent, Sriyam, kingly enjoyment, Rupasya Agraja, the elder brother of Sri Rupa Goswami. Esha, this, Eva, certainly, Tarunim, youthful, Vairagya Lakshmi, the fortune of renunciation, Dadhe, accepted. Anta Bahi Rasena, by the mellows of inner love of Krishna. Purna Riraya, satisfied fully, Vajje, externally. Abhudhuta Akriti, the dress of a mendicant. Shaivale, by moss. Pihitam, covered. Maha Saraha, the great lake or deep, very deep lake. Iva, like Priti Pradaha, very pleasing. Tat Vidam, to person acquainted with the science of devotional service. Translation, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami, the elder brother of Srila Rupa Goswami, was the most important minister in the government of Hussain Shah, the ruler of Bengal. And he was considered a most brilliant gem in that assembly. He possessed all the opulences of a royal position, but he gave up everything just to accept the youthful goddess of renunciation. Although he externally appeared to be a mendicant, who had renounced everything. He was filled with the pleasure of devotional service within his heart. Thus he can be compared to a deep lake covered with moss. He was the object of pleasure for all the devotees who knew the science of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada gave a short purport. This and the following two verses are from Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka 9.34, 35, 38. The next verse, this is the end of the chapter. Just a couple more verses. Okay. Tam sanatana upagam akrishna drishta matram atimatra dayardraha alilinga parigayata durvam sanukampam atha champaka gauraha. As soon as Sanatana Goswami arrived in front of Lord Chaitanya, the Lord, seeing him, became merciful to him. The Lord, who has complexion of a golden champaka flower, opened his arms and embraced him while expressing great affection. Kalena Vrindavana Keli Varta Lupteti Tam Kapaitam Vishisha Kripa Mritena Vishishesha Deva Tatraiva Rupancha Sanatanancha. This is a famous verse. These are all famous verses, but this verse indicates the service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked all six Goswami to do, the four things. So the translation Prabhupada gave, in the course of time, the transcendental news of Krishna's pastime in Vrindavan was almost lost. To enunciate explicitly those transcendental pastimes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Prayag empowered Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami with the nectar of his mercy to carry out this work in Vrindavan. Eitu kahilo sanatane prabhur pasha jahar shravane chitter khande avasad. Now, if you listen this discussion today, what supposed to happen to your heart, in your heart? I'm talking about the audience heart. When we hear this explanation, what's supposed to happen? Let's see. Srila Prabhupada translate. I have thus explained the mercy bestowed on Sanatana Goswami by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If one hears this, all moroseness, avasad. Avasad means you feel lost, disparagement in your heart will be diminished. So this is very exciting. In spiritual life, to grow, you need enthusiasm, psychic valuation, which we call motivation. Just by hearing this discussion, we can be spiritually greedy and positively proceed on our marching towards spiritual life. Krishna sarup gane sakal hai gyan vidhi raga marge sadhan bhakti ra vidhan. Okay. By reading this instruction to Sanatana Goswami, one will become fully aware of Lord Krishna's various expansion, the process of devotional service according to the regulative principle, and spontaneous love. Thus, everything can be fully known. Haribo, this is wonderful. Then, these are all follow Shruti, means, because this is the last only three verses of this chapter, 355 slokas. And now you are getting the result of hearing the whole chapter. Krishna prema bhakti rasa bhakti rasiddhanta ihara sravane bhakta janen sab anta. By reading this chapter, a pure devotee can understand love of Krishna, the mellows of devotional service, and the conclusion of devotional service. Everyone can understand all these things to their ultimate end by studying this chapter. 354. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Advaita Charan Jara Prana Dhan Se Paish E Dhan. So the conclusion of this chapter can be known to one whose life and soul the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. And I'm asking the audience, did you catch it? That means you have to adore the lotus feet of this Panchatattva, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. Then you will know the conclusion of this chapter revealed in your heart. So it's not only hearing, it is also require result of hearing. When you hear something, what's supposed to happen? I'm sure you all have developed love for the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. Actually, Advaita Acharya's appearance day is coming in few days, I believe. Yes, this Friday. I'm looking at the calendar. Sri Rupa Raghunath Pade Jaras Chaitanya Charita Amrita Kahe Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate the Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport to the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila chapter 24, describing the Atmaram verse and the Lord's mercy upon Sanatan Goswami. When let's invoke the mercy of Prabhupada and Guru Parampara. Om Ajnanati Mirandasa Yenanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tashmai Sri Guru Vinam Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadatisha Padantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunnavadi Paschata Deshatarini Bancha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebho Vaishnavibho Namo Namo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gauravaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। वैराग्य युक्त भक्ति रस प्रजेतने अपायन मनोभीप्सौ मंदम कृपां बुधिज पर दुख दुखी सनातनं तं प्रभुम आश्रयामि। गौरेन्द्रस्य सभाविभूषणमणिस्तक्ता रजरिद्धं श्रियम् रूपाश्यग्रज एष एव तरणीं वैराग्यलक्ष्मीं ददे अन्तर्भक्तिरसेन पूर्णहृदयो वाज्ये वधूताकृति शैवाले पिहितं महाशर इव प्रीतिपदस्तद्विदाम्। Again, the translation, Srila Prabhupada writes, Sri Sanatana Goswami, the elder brother of Srila Rupa Goswami, was most important minister in the government of Husain Shah. So here we are, I'm not sure how many months you took to finish this chapter. I'm sure it took some time because 355 sloka is a lot of slokas. And in the 354 it says that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Advaita Charan Jar Prana Dhan Sei Paye Dhan. So we all supposed to get the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. And we supposed to get attracted to the qualities of them. And then it says, Gunakrishta Hoya Kare Nirmala Bhajan. Then your bhajan, your spiritual progress, bhajan, bhaj, dhatu, the verbal root, bhaj means devotional service. Serving to the divine couple supposed to have a nirmal means without any contamination. Gunakrishta Hoya Kare Nirmala Bhajan. That means you are those who have heard this chapter and you got attracted by the quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching to Sanatana Goswami on the Atmaram verse, and your heart is now nirmal, purified. Now your bhajan should be without any hindrance. Obstacle can come, but you will not be affected. That is the difference. Nishtha hoite shravanadde ruchi upajoy. Also it is explained that when you come to this fixed, then the taste for bhakti will be always with you. Then the jara ras, the material sense enjoyment, will go down naturally. Then another phalasruti also on this chapter given. Eito kahilo prabhur sanatane prasad jahar shravane chitte khande avasad. Avasad means it is the reality of most of the devotee when they join after few months or few years or after few decades, they feel sometime no more enthusiasm to keep on going or more or advancing more. That thing should disappear, the avasad, moroseness, disparagement. That should not be there. Now, if somebody feels not enthusiastic to go on in spiritual life, then they should read this chapter again, understanding the conclusion of Mahaprabhu's teachings. This is very good, very nice benediction. Happiness we have, we thriving is a decision, it is also benediction. and it is also emotion. So here is the benediction. Benediction that if you understood, if you contemplated when you heard this chapter, now everybody can take their heart pulse and see if your moroseness disappear and you are enthusiastic to serve the divine couple, Radha Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with conviction and determination. Conviction means not regular motivation, psychic, some kind of igniting in your heart to some kind of motivation. No, it is a intelligent, involved decision. You are so much enthusiastic that you are not disturbed by anything. That position is conviction. Because that's what it says. Eitu kahilo prabhur sanatane prasad jahar sravane chitter khande avasad. Just by hearing it, Srila Prabhupada writes, that all the moroseness should disappear. Because this is a big thing. Sometimes you need motivation. You'll see some devotee chanting, but after a while they feel like not too much enthusiastic to progress further. The taste for chanting holy name is coming when you are tested, whether you have a taste or not. If you don't have a taste, that means there is some offense is there. You haven't understood the philosophy nicely, and service attitude did not develop. You are not enthusiastic. So this chapter, such a nice benediction is given. I love that. And Mahaprabhu gave 61 meanings, just to catch up, in case, just to refresh, that 294 text says, Batrishe chabbishe mili aste astapanchas ar ek bedhe suno arthero prakash. Then another 32, as we discussed, that there is a two types of bhakti, as Prabhupada ended with it. Two types of bhakti, vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti, or raga bhakti, spontaneous love and regulative. Now, somebody will say, which one we are following? It is not a question of which one you are following. I love the way Prabhupada explains. When someone learns how to play midanga, because this happened in this temple, sometime some learner, they come and they are beating the drum on midanga when the guru puja or bhajan or something goes on. It's not very sweet sound. It's like a banging, and he's trying to learn, and he thinks he's already getting there, but it's not sweet. But when that person keeps on practicing, after maybe a few months or year, he is become so good expert in midanga playing. And when you hear, when somebody sing bhajan and that midanga melodious offering to the Lord, carried with the midanga sound, is very sweet. So until it becomes sweet sound of the midanga, it is vaidhi bhakti type of. Vaidhi bhakti is kind of a rough, not so much with feeling. And this is what Prabhupada gave a nice, I like that explanation Prabhupada gave. It's like a rough stage of learning midanga. And then when you become expert, same midanga player or tabla player or any instrument player becomes so sweet to hear that. And you never feel bored. You rather want to hear more and more and more because it's such a nice sweet. But when they are student learning, they are not so good at it, but that's how they have to become expert. So until it becomes sweet, it is called vaidhi bhakti, according to Prabhupada's explanation. And when it becomes sweet, means carrying our affection, carrying our feeling for the Lord. We have a favorable intention. Only pleasing Krishna is not enough. It has to be with my favorable intention. Because pleasing Krishna, if it is enough, then so many times, so many pastime we see that like Chanura hitting Krishna, punching Krishna. Krishna is smiling, Sukhdev Goswami says, because he is enjoying the Shiblari Ras. But this is not bhakti at all, neither Vaidhi or Raganuga. Why? Because the intention of Chanura to kill Krishna. So it is not necessarily only pleasing Krishna with favorable attitude, intention. That has to come from individual us. So bhakti is not only Krishna accepting. Bhakti is offering with our pure intention. So this is what these two difference. And then Sanatana Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the Vaidhi Bhaktas are 16 types and Raghava Bhakta are 16 types. And one day we discuss about also. Then this 16 plus 16, 32, and time 2, so that's 6, 4 times 4 is 16, time 2 is 32, and then the other 32, so that become actually 64, but it's 61. It says 26 plus 32 plus 3. And they're just technical, whoever is listening, if you are like, how it is 69. The Atmarama means great munis. So that's one, that's a 59. And then Sarvamuchyate, including all classes of men, Atmaramas, that's another one. That's 60. And then the word Urukram Bhakti Ahituki Kurmanti are added to the word Eva again and again. Thus another meaning is explained. So that becomes 61. And first 16 is for the eternal associate 4, for practitioner 4, one who has through practice developed Lord's love for the Lord, that's another 4. And 4 means then a servitorship, friendship, and then the parental, bachelor's, and then the conjugal, these 4. These 4 in Jataruchi, Ajataruchi, and then Sadhaka and Parishad. So Jataruchi means you are practicing, but you haven't, Ajataruchi, or you haven't matured. So until you mature, that's a 4 types. And then when you mature, then they become another 4 types. The same person become different person, actually, when the love develops in the heart. And then when you become associate, Krishna accept your service, then you have also 4 types. So that's how it becomes 16. 16 plus 16 is 32, like this. Okay. Now we are going to discuss little bit about Sanatana Goswami Pad. So Sanatana Goswami Pad, that who is he? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give him so much mercy. So Sanatana Goswami Pad, that in big details is given, that Sanatana Goswami Pad, he was
please mute the phone
coming from a coming from a dynasty of Hare Krishna.
Please mute the phone, Dangot Pranam.
What happened?
Prabhu, not for you.
Oh. So Sanatana Goswami Pad's dynasty, little description is given here, that Sanatana Goswami comes from a Bharadvaj Gotriya Jajur Bedi Brahman. He does not come from a Muslim family, even though he was given Muslim name. But he comes from a very high-class Brahman family of Karnataka. South India, near, I forgot the big city in Karnataka, but anyway, near Bombay. Bombay is in, Mumbai now. Bombay is in, what they call the state, near Pune. Pune, they are all in Maharashtra. So near Maharashtra, there is a Karnataka, another state, where this family, Bharadaj Gotriya Jajurvedi, Brahman family, very high-class Brahman family, they came to Bengal, and they lived near Nahati. If you go from Calcutta to Mayapur, it's on the way, halfway. There's a railway station called Nahati. Near there, their forefather moved there. And Bharadaj Gotriya Jajurvedi Brahman, he was a very famous. One time, the king of Karnataka, and then his name was Sri Aniruddha Raja, or king. And in 1338 Sakabda, you have to translate, we can translate into Khrishchabda, mean Christian calendar. And he had two sons, Rupeshwar and Harihar. And Rupeshwar's son is Padmanabha, and Padmanabha's son is Mukundadev. Mukundadev's son is Kumardev. Kumardev had a Raghunandan and other children, not clearly mentioned how many total, but Sanatan, Rupa Goswami, and Sri Vallabh Anupam, these three are the prominent name as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate. We don't know the rest of the family's history, so much not given. But at least these three names, that they were Mahaprabhu's eternal associate, came into that family. Sanatan Goswami, his childhood name was Amar, and Rupa Goswami's childhood name was Santosh. And Sri Vallabha's childhood name was Anupam. And later on, Sanatan Goswami Pad got the name, Muslim name, called Sakar Mallik. And Rupa Goswami Pad got Dabir Khas, and Sri Vallabha got Kosa, they used to call him cashier or treasurer, you can say. Sanatan Goswami Pad, under Nawab Hussain Shah in Bengal. That time Bengal actually ruled part of Orissa, part of, it's called Gorodesh, that province. Sanatan Goswami Pad was given by Nawab Hussain Shah a title called Chief Minister, Pradhan Mantri. Pradhan Mantri, Chief Minister or Prime Minister? Pradhan means Prime Minister. Oh, he can be Chief Minister, doesn't matter, English. And then Rupa Goswami Pad was given Das Munshi. Khas Munshi means private secretary, and private secretary, very close to the king. And Anupam, or Sri Vallabha, his son is famous Jiva Goswami Pad. So this is a brief of Sanatan Goswami Pad's dynasty. And Sanatan Goswami Pad, he lived in that part when I was in Mayapur. We went there. Japataka Maharaj went many times. Those days we used to go there. They still have a beautiful memory of Sanatan and Rupa Goswami place, and in Bengal when you go there. And he lived, it was recorded that he lived about 27 years. Then during Mahaprabhu's time, Mahaprabhu lived or physically present in this world for 48 years. First 24 years, he was in a Grihastha ashram in Navadvip. That time, Rupa Sanatan never met, but they did have a communication. There is a record that some communication was there. In one sense, they did not meet in a physical, but actually Mahaprabhu came to Sanatan Goswami Pad to deliver him Bhagavatam in a disguised form of a Brahmana. So from that angle you can look at it. But 27 years when he was staying in with Nawab Hussain Shah, he did not meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at the age of 27, he got the darshan of Mahaprabhu. And then, of course, we know that he left the life of his family, in a sense, the minister job and everything. And then he went to Vrindavan and he lived there 43 years. So roughly about 70 years, 1558, he disappeared on the full moon of in the month of Ashar. In Gaur Ganadev Deepika, Sanatan Goswami Pad's position is given very significant by the Kavi Karnapur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was directly guiding Kavi Karnapur to indicate who is who in amongst his associate. So these are all authentic. And Gaur Ganadev Deepika 181-182, it says, Ja Rupa Manjari Presta Pura Sidrati Manjari Sochate Nama Bhedena Labanga Manjari Budhe Saddha Gaura Vinnatanu Sarvaradha Sanatanaha Tameva Pravishat Karjam Niranto Sanatanaha Rati Manjari, so we can translate that, Rati Manjari, who was previously very dear to Rupa Manjari, was also known by some wise person as Labanga Manjari. So we hear that his Krishna Lila identity as Labanga Manjari, but is also Rati Manjari. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami is also Rati Manjari. So because it can confuse, so here we can see that they knew already this will happen. So they say that was also known by some wise person as Labanga Manjari, has become the worshipable Sanatan, who is non-different from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the jewels among sages, Sanatan Kumar, has also entered into him to fulfill a certain mission. Now, according to Gaur Ganadev Deepika, this Sanatan Kumar, one of the sage, that Sanatan Sananda, Sanat Kumar, Sanaka, this also entered in in Sanatan Goswami Pad's body. According to Gauriya Vaishnava Abhidhan or dictionary, I still have it here, I don't know if they print anymore. The old dictionary from Bhaktisiddhanta Sur Thakur's time, it explains that Sanatan was born in 1410 Sakabda, which is 1488 AD or Christian Gregorian calendar. And Narahari Chakravarti, he explained in Bhakti Ratnakar that Bhaktisiddhanta Sur Thakur also gave the summary of this information in his Anuvashya in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 1084, which I have quoted in this book about Sanatana Goswami Pad's date, 1488. 1488. So they all agree, Sanatan Goswami Pad's. Now Sanatan Goswami Pad, let's think for a few minutes. We in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains Sanatan Goswami Pad also in Chaitanya Bhagavad, also Vrindavan Das Thakur gives how his teachings applies or affect us. Because of the time, I'm going to go to the root. The four questions we must ask, and Prabhupada quote this slokas, Ke ami kene amai jare trapatroy, iha nahi jani kemone hita hoy. साध साधन तत्व ना है निश्चय. दिस फोर क्वेश्चन एवरी डे वी शुड रिमाइंड आवर सेल्फ. हु एम आई? वाई एम आई इन दिस मेटेरियल वर्ल्ड? हाउ डिड आई कम? हाउ डिड आई गेट इन टू दिस ट्रैप? दिस फर्स्ट क्वेश्चन इज हु एम आई. सनातन गोस्वामीपाद आज दैट क्वेश्चन टू Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada, because Prabhupada emphasized this, so I put it in myself to understand that these four questions we must ask every day. Who am I? Okay, first don't say I'm a servant of Krishna. First, I like that concept Prabhupada gives, that first you separate from the material world. I am a spirit, not product of this mortal world. I do not die. I am eternal. As a soul, as a conscious being, I have nothing to do with this material matter. Material means means you make up something. You know, you make up something. You mold, you make up. Soul is not mold. Soul is not made. Soul is eternal. Soul is never made or takes a different body. No. Soul is always soul. But the desire that false ego binds the soul with the matter, that's what the subtle body causes the transmigration. But as a soul, we never die. So first thing is, I'm a spirit, conscious being. Then second is, I'm a servant of Krishna. Third, I have a relationship. In Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives 11 things, very, very nicely explained, that how we have a beautiful form, we have a beautiful service with the Lord. Those things are eternal. We should focus on that. So, four questions. First question is, Ke ami? Who am I? Second question is, Kene am I jaretra patroi? Why am I suffering in this world? How did I come to this world? This question every day we should ask. And you can give same answer if you don't have a new answer or new way to look at it, but it should be convincing us. This will help us. Third, iha nahi jani kemone hita hoy. And what will be the best thing at this point in my life? What can I do that will be the best thing? What am I willing to do today that will be the best thing that will benefit me, benefit others? And if you search in that, it says, Munaya sadhu prishtaham bhavad bilokamangalam jat krita krishna samprasna jayatma suprasiddhati. Your question should be always that will benefit others. What will benefit others? When it is related to Krishna. How it is benefiting? Because it pleases Krishna and it pleases the soul. You see the logic and cause and effect. Anything we ask, is it beneficial to everybody? Is it beneficial to me? Is it beneficial to others? It is beneficial to enemy even. But how something can be beneficial? It has to have a relation with Krishna. Okay, if it is related to Krishna, how it is going to be the best? Because it will please Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, jasmin tuste jagat tuste, it will please me. So, this is the third. So first is, ke ami, who am I? Second is, why I'm here in this suffering world? And how did I come? All these questions on the second. Third, what am I willing to do that will be benefited to me and benefited to others? And the fourth question is, Saddha sadhan tattva na hoy nischay. Once you come to the conclusion of understanding yourself, why you are Hari and who is Krishna, then how to obtain that goal, and what process can I follow to obtain the goal is necessary. So this four questions should be asked always. Srila Prabhupada also put in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the principle of bhakti through four devotees. Ramananda Rai, how to control the senses. Upendra Mishra got misunderstood. Second is forbearance, tolerance, like Haridas Thakur. And criticism idea by Damodar Pandit and humility by Sanatana Goswami. So we should focus on those. So then question comes, who is Sanatana Goswami? Well, Sanatana Goswami himself confessed who he is. He says, I am the lowest born that I adopted to take that job in a Muslim government who eats beef. I mean, would you work for a beef eater? They are eternal associates. They are teaching us that I was born such a low, yet Mahaprabhu made me the best Brahmana by his mercy. Then Rupa Goswami Pad gives the definition who Sanatana Goswami Pad is the Labanga Manjari, Rati Manjari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also taught humility through him. Sanatana Goswami Pad is the acharya or teacher who established Sambandha Gyan. I'm sure everybody is familiar with Sambandha. Because without Sambandha, there is no motivation to do bhakti. And without Abhideya, there is nothing you will achieve, goal, Krishna plan. So let's go backward. To attain goal of life, pure love, you need to understand what Abhideya is. To understand Abhideya or process, you need to understand what Sambandha is. Sambandha again will motivate to do the bhakti, and bhakti will produce the prem. So Sanatana Goswami Pad is so important in our life. Sanatana Goswami Pad did few things we can focus. He performed Purascharan, prerequisite before you get into initiation or spiritual life. Second thing he did, he distributed his wealth, Rupa Sanatana, very systematic. We can learn from that. And when king arrested Sanatana Goswami Pad in jail, what did he do to get out? We can apply in our life when we feel we are stuck in our bhakti path. How to get out? Systematic, Sanatana Goswami Pad writes. And Sanatana Goswami Pad eventually escaped from the prison. And Sanatana Goswami Pad also wrote, exhibited that how his nephew Ishan almost got him killed by carrying the liquid form of danger called gold coin, 7 or 8 gold coin. He said 7, but the killer knew that it was 8. Sanatana Goswami Pad also taught us when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Banaras that what is the proper attitude to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how to follow him, and how to remain safeguard to yourself. Once we become devotees, doesn't mean like we can do anything and everything. No, we have to be always guarding ourselves that we do not deviate, not to associate with unnecessary people, not to eat without offering, like this. He taught in that place in Banaras very nicely. Sanatana Shiksha also gives another dimension, how to see Srimad Bhagavatam, which he gives in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, much deep understanding that how actually Krishna relishes and Brajavasi are in love with him. Just by reading without Sanatana Goswami Pad's comment, Srimad Bhagavatam, we will not be excited to enter into Brajadham. Sanatana Goswami Pad, by his mercy, made it access. We can think that also. Sanatana Goswami Pada also taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that don't go to east side, don't go to west side, don't go to north side, don't go to south side, because there is a karma, gyan, yoga, but go to east side. East side means the heart. I'm just giving it just a key point. And bhakti has to come through the heart, not through the karma, gyan, on yoga. And bhakti superiority was established by Sanatana Goswami Pada. Then also, how to approach God, and he gave a conception of opulence aspect and Narayan aspect, above that Krishna aspect, Vasudev aspect, then above that is Krishna concept. And within Krishna concept, there is complete Krishna, more complete and most complete in Vrindavan. And before that is Dwarka, before that is Mathura, like this. This is all Sanatana Shiksha, very nice. Sanatana Goswami also gave the hierarchy in the spiritual world. What about Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash, which is Prabhav Prakash, Vaibhav Prakash, then Tad Ekatma Rupa. The whole breakdown of the entire spiritual dimension and then to the material creation. He gave complete about that. Sanatana Goswami Pada, how much can we talk? We can talk for a month and month, whole year will not be ending. So Sanatana Shiksha has wonderful explanation. And I will end with here and see if anybody wants to have a further clarification or some reflection or some... Because I don't know where to start. It is so much... even though it's a simple one verse, again I'm going to read this verse. It's so sweet, this verse, that Chaitanya Charitamrita Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami writes. Gaurendrasya Sabha Vibhushana Mani Sekta Jaridham Sriyam Rupa Shagra Jayesha Eva Taranim Vairagya Lakshmim Dade Antar Bhakti Rasena Purna Ridaya Vajje Badhuta Kriti Saivale Pihitam Mahasaraiva Priti Padastad Vidham. Srila Prabhupada's translation again. Srila Sanatana Goswami, the elder brother of Srila Rupa Goswami, was the most important minister in the government of Hussain Shah, the ruler of Bengal. He was considered a most brilliant gem in that assembly. He possessed all the opulences of a royal position, but he gave up everything just to accept the youthful goddess of renunciation. Beautiful the way Prabhupada translates, youthful goddess of renunciation. Because generally people think you become a serious devotee, sincere devotee, then Krishna take away everything. No, Krishna does not take away everything. Krishna never takes away anything that is good for you. Krishna only takes away the things that we don't want, we don't need, like a bad karma. He gives a little token. Because Krishna is Sada Suddha Siddha Kam. Bhakata Vatsala Naam, Bhakata Janera Nitya Sani, Sada Suddha Siddha Kam. He is absolute good. Absolute good means everything he does, everything he says, it's all good. But it requires eye to see. So Prabhupada writes, very good. Although he externally appeared to be a mendicant who had renounced everything, but he was filled with the pleasure of devotional service within his heart. Thus he can be compared to a deep lake covered with moss. He was the object of pleasure for all the devotees who knew the science of devotional service. Is there any question, comment, reflection, further discussion?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. I just have a few questions. First one is, in the purpose you read earlier, during the beginning of the class, there is a mention of how, you know, one must serve the lotus feet of the Lord. And I come across, and we come across this phrase quite a bit in all our scriptures, like place the lotus feet of the Lord in your heart, place the lotus feet of your guru in your heart. So what does it actually mean by that, Prabhuji? I mean, why is, even like when we hear of the great sages and devotees, it's always said that they serve the lotus feet of the Lord. So does it signify humility, or is there more to it? I mean, why that much emphasis is given on serving the lotus feet of the Lord, Prabhu? I have other questions too, but
okay, let's do this first.
Okay.
What I understand a little bit by the mercy of Prabhupada, even this morning we are singing, every day we sing, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. Every day in Guru Vandana, we say Sri Guru Charana Padma, as you said. Yes, here it says, we read every day in Alachua temple, we recite the English, the lotus feet of our spiritual master. Immediately we start. The lotus feet of our spiritual master. Of course, here indicate means Prabhupada, lotus feet. Why lotus? Lotus, Padma, in spiritual realm, the lotus means, lotus is known by fragrance, and lotus is known by attractive colors. And the shape is also indicated, like Krishna's eyes, like Padmanetra, like this, Krishna's navel, it's Padmanabhi, Navi Padma, like this. So, yes, lotus means, but then question comes, who goes to the lotus? The bees, they go to the lotus and they suck the honey. This honey is not like a regular honey when it comes from the lotus. It carries a fragrance, a saffron. Even in Ayurveda, if you know any Ayurvedic doctor, they will tell you that how important this Padma Madhu, it's like more than any other honey. Because it has a pollen, it literally cures anything. Of course, when you smell it, I personally did it one time, just to smell the Padma Madhu, it has a tremendous fragrance. When a disciple glorifies the teachings of Guru, this is bumblebee. We are acting as a bumblebee. We never want to go away from the lotus feet of Guru. So serving the lotus feet is our everything, means we find the most enchanting, endearing to our heart, those teachings. Those bhakti under guidance of Guru's mercy, then we feel spiritual happiness, then we want to distribute that fragrance, distribute that honey for others' benefit. Then it becomes very attractive. Just like Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, we have a religion in our country, we have everything. What do you came to give? And Prabhupada is such a genius. He's always situated at the lotus feet of his guru. Immediately, without even thinking, he immediately, instantly says, I am here for my Guru Maharaj's instruction. He wants me to deliver this nectar of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I am carrying the order of my spiritual master. So when devotee started fascinated by Prabhupada's teachings and the process. It is nothing but his caring, the lotus feet of his Guru Maharaj. What is lotus feet of Guru Maharaj? It's this spiritual life. One time Bhaktisiddhanta Sotaguru was asked, how to understand the absolute truth that you learn from your Guru, but your Guru Maharaj doesn't even know how to write his name. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, the abode of his lotus feet, my Guru Maharaj Gaurakishodas Babaji, is endowed with all the spiritual knowledge. You may see he may not be able to write, but entire spiritual knowledge, unlimited knowledge, is at his feet. That's where I'm drawing. They were like shocked, because he was like a walking library, you can say, because they would ask any question and he would give reference from the scriptures. He was such an erudite. Even when all the Babajis were against him, they asked him, why did you introduce this Gauro Gayatri? Before Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, we did not have a Gauro Gayatri in our parampara easily. And he saw the importance of Gauro Gayatri. So he immediately says, it's from the Rig Vedas, Chaitanya Upanishad, part of that Veda, and you can trace it. And they opened the book, they found it. So they ask, how did you know? How did you? He said, by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. So by the Guru Maharaj's mercy means we are like a bumblebee. We should not be interested. It says, no anodesti kalim samrat saranga iva sarabhuk. Saranga. We have to become saranga means essence taker. Like a bee, bumblebee. Bumblebee is not interested. Oh, guess who owns this garden? Who put the fence? Who planted this flower? He's not inquiring all these things. He goes there, he saw the flower, he put his thinking things and he draw the pollen and just get out. We should not be involved too much with the material research, finding out everything about. We should focus on the bhakti, on our guru's teaching. This is called saranga. You become like a bee. Then you glorify that. It will enchant the heart of all the Kali Yuga Jiva. So this is one explanation. Another explanation also given, that the lotus never touches in the water, lotus flower always above the water, but yet it is rooted or it is coming out of the water. So lotus, if we stay at the lotus feet of Guru Krishna, we will not be also touched by these three modes of material nature. We can be completely aloof. When we are following our Guru's instruction. When we follow Prabhupada, he's our eternal Shiksha Guru for everybody. We may have a different Diksha Guru, but he's our eternal Shiksha Guru. He's our best friend. And when we follow Srila Prabhupada, then we can be above three modes of material nature. Lotus flower also signifies that. Lotus flower, so another angle to look at it, that when lotus flower grows from budding to contracting to blossoming to blooming, this gradual process from covered to the budding to blossoming, these stages, it looks like that the sun causes the lotus to bloom. So sun is considered Krishna. But if there is no water, the same sun will burn this lotus into ashes. If we ever miss our appreciation, gratefulness, attitude, grateful attitude, if we ever withdraw from the lotus feet of Guru Krishna, then this sun Krishna, we may thrive into spiritual life without Vaishnava mercy, will dry at the end, diminish our own existence in spiritual life. And this is the one of the main reason if you see any advanced soul deviated ever, because they started developing, they know more than their guru, or they now understand better than guru. This is dangerous. Lotus also teaches us that. Yes, by sun's mercy, I'm growing, but my base, where I'm coming from, is my guru, the water. So lotus has many reason why the lotus feet of our guru or lotus feet of Krishna or Vaishnavas are compared to lotus. I hope this helps you a little bit. I mean, there's so much explanation is given also. Is that okay, Mother?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hi, Bol. Can you hear me, Prabhu?
Yes,
Prabhuji. Thank you so much for beautifully explaining the qualities of the lotus and how we imbibe, how we should, actually listen to the Guru. My question was more on why the emphasis is on lotus feet of the Lord. And, like you rightly said, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, and we have to take the instructions of the Guru to heart. And also, you know, the Vedas are the sound representation of Krishna. So why don't we say, you know, the lotus lips of the Guru or the Lord, because that's where the teachings are coming from, you know, but rather we say the lotus feet. So I was just wondering, is it because we need to remain in a humble position that we refer to it as the lotus feet, or is there some other meaning to it?
You know, in the wall, in your house, in the wall, there is an electric wire. But you cannot draw electricity from the wall unless there is an outlet. So the outlet of the power, electric power, allows you to be connected. And lotus feet, lotus hand, lotus lip, these are the outlet where you, your heart will be enchanted like a lotus. When Guru gives blessing, he gives blessing through the lotus feet because that's where the outlet of mercy flowing. When you touch Guru's lotus feet, Prabhupada's lotus feet, how much I have assimilated and how much I am lacking, whatever I'm lacking, it will fill up, and whatever I have contemplated or reflected, it will be assimilated. So connection is established on that. Connection is established on that. So outlet is the lotus feet. Outlet is the lotus leaf. Outlet is the hand. You'll see them in the Bhagavatam everywhere, because that's where it fulfills what you are lacking. Like if you touch Guru's leg or a shoulder or a head, you will not get the mercy when you touch his feet, because outlet of the mercy is there. Also, you can look at it. When you stand on the road, I'm giving you a practical example. Prabhupada says, to understand, you have to stand under. So I was contemplating this. Why Prabhupada said to stand under in order to understand? So what is the lowest part of that person's body? Is the feet touching the dirt or ground, earth. If I want to stand under, that means I have to focus his feet and put my head there. Then I am at proper position where the spiritual energy, spiritual mercy, this Shakti will emanate and fills my heart. So there's many reasons you can see why to make us remain humble, those outlets are significantly explained and always telling us, like in Alacho we do when we do Guru Puja every day. We touch Prabhupada's footprint in front of his murti, and we touch there. We're not touching his body to get the mercy. We're touching there. Why? There's the outlet. So I'll be now empowered. Or whatever misunderstanding I have, maybe it will be removed just by touching this. The outlet is there. Is that explain you a little more?
Yes, Prabhuji, that makes, it very clear. Also, my next question, thank you so much for the detailed explanation, Prabhu, and taking so much time to clarify. The next question was regarding Phalashruti. Many times in Bhagavatam Katha also we read about a lot of Phalashruti, and a lot of shlokas, they end with the Phalashruti. And a lot of material benefits are mentioned also as part of the Phalashruti. So I was just wondering if the end aim is, you know, to please Krishna, then won't these material benefits kind of take away from a person's resolve to actually, follow Bhakti Yoga?
Sometimes we can see this is also in eternally also in the spiritual world. This material benediction, they come to make us progress further. Just like Nanda Baba, he went to pay taxes to Kamsa when Krishna was born after 7 days, and he felt like he was so happy. So he extending his happiness. He's thinking, okay, I should report also that I got a son and I want to pay him tax, also some gifts. So he got a lot of stuff. But while he was coming back, he realized that, the whole story of Putana. And then Nanda Baba went through such a dramatic change of heart. His eternal associate, he has so much love for Krishna. But it increased 10 times more than before. He said, I don't care about tax. I don't care anything. I'll never leave my son. I want to hold my son and live with him and just serve him. I don't want to go anywhere. Doesn't matter. If they arrest me, but I'm not going to leave my son. So this kind of intense is also created by this other unnecessary benediction. It will come. Whether you want or not, it will come. Why it comes? It actually, when you find some taste in bhakti, then obstacle will come just to test you, not to test you only, to increase your faith. No, I used to like the candy. No, I don't want candy. I just want prasadam only. I just don't want it. This is like disturbing. I don't need to verify. And you feel like more inside you, you pray, my Lord, I don't want anything, only your mercy. I just want your prasadam. I don't want anything else to eat. Please protect me. This intensity is ignited by outside atmosphere. So sometimes given also for this reason. Also, Bhagavatam, in Govardhan Parikrama, as I mentioned, I think last or sometime back, that in Govardhan Parikrama, it says that if you could not get your daughter married or your son graduate, or you think like this is the reason one should come to Govardhan. But hey, look at how many thousand people come there. I was surprised. Like hundreds of thousands of people come to Radhakund. I'm saying like, wow, where these people are coming from? These are all devotees. They are, of course, they are all some sort of devotees. Not everybody has a guru or surrendered. But his motivation, the Bhagavatam or Radhakund Mahima, Govardhan Mahima, they promote this so that they come there, they meet Sasadhu, they take bath, they get Sukriti, Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti. They are called Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, not material piety. And Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti eventually bring them close to Krishna. And the sadhus are also merciful at that time. and they give them some darshan, give them, remove their sinful nature, remove their... So many reasons these things are promoted, only for good, only for good. Because otherwise, there will be less and less. The whole process of bhakti yoga is not only transcending ourselves, also transforming the atmosphere we are. So to accommodate everybody, also to intensify our love, these things are given.
Sure, Prabhuji. Also, many times, you know, when the Parashruti says that when you read this katha, you will be liberated, you know, things like that, but they don't actually happen. So won't they kind of shake the faith of the person who's reading it? Because many times we are told as part of the katha that you will go back straight to Godhead if you read this once, you know, or listen to this, or read Bhagavatam every day. I mean, even for that matter, even chanting once, you know, the holy name of the Lord purely, you're sure to go back to Godhead. And things like that, which we don't, I mean, at least at my level of sadhana, you know, I'm not able to experience for results, you know. I was just wondering about
the follow Shruti. Well, we can, yes, this is a fact that in a practical sense, that how to understand this follow Shruti, how it works. Reason cannot reach beyond reason. But it can give us reason to reach beyond reason. See, when you say, just for an example, when they ask Prabhupada that taking bath in Radhakund, Prabhupada, one get the love for Krishna, but I took bath, I didn't get the love. So Prabhupada gave a kind of a practical example. He said, why you are here? Why did you take bath and why you are here? So they say, well, but it says that once who takes bath in the Radhakund, you get love of God. It says, yes, but did you also read the rest of the purport? That even Narad Muni, four Kumaras, they are not even qualified to come and take bath easily, and what to talk about you from America, just someone. So who took bath? Was the body took bath? Who took bath? Or the mind took bath? Mental body took bath? Or the soul took bath? Who took bath? So if you think, like, okay, it says that if I hear this, who heard it? Because when we hear something, it filters through. Just like if I have a red glasses, I see everything red. Now, when I take, if I have ability to take off the glasses, oh, it's not red, it is white. How, why did I see red? So question is, when we perceive things, who is perceiving? That question also has to be raised. That soul is perceiving. If soul is perceiving in its constitutional position as a servant, with sambandha, then yes, that soul is liberated immediately. It's a fact. If the soul is perceiving through the mind, well, I heard this, but I don't know. Do I believe it? So you have a doubt. The mind is already creating doubt. But the sound was pure. The Shabda Brahma was coming through, but it's filtering through. We have to look at also filtering through. Filtering what? The mind what? A mind is doubting. So then it will be doubt result. It is not going to be pure result. I mean, in our practical life, you know, like last night, I'm sure you went to go to sleep with the hope that you will wake up this morning. I'm sure you did that. That's why you are over the phone, you are talking. So we have some trust. You have a hope. So we have a confidence also. But the attitude, it has to come from each of us. How much faith we have, that much it will proportionate, that much result it will show us. When Bhagavan Das asked the question to Prabhupada, that in the temple everybody is chanting, how the result is produced. Is everybody getting the same result? So you can see in Vedabase that letter is there, Bhagavan Das. And Prabhupada replied that when you chant, you are connected with Absolute Truth, Krishna, Radha Krishna. Proportion to your conscious acceptance. See the word he used, that proportion to your conscious acceptance means how much you have actually believed when you heard and you acted on it. Just like Guru told the disciple, you should listen, you should hear me. And then he said, yes, Gurudev, I'm going to hear you. So after a little time, he said, give me a glass of water. So you heard that. It sounds like, I'm not that dummy. Why that example is applicable? So after 5 minutes, he said, did you hear? He said, yes, I heard you. He said, but you're not acting. He said, you didn't tell me to act. You told me to hear. So what did I say? Give me a glass of water. I heard that. But who heard it? Can the soul hear in a constitutional position from Guru and not act? No. As a soul, cannot. He must be conditional soul. Conditional soul does not understand the meaning of the subject matter. When the instruction comes, they read it wrong. Just like the disciples in 1924, on the 50th birthday of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they asked, how to understand you following your guru's instruction? Your Gurudev gave you first instruction that don't go to Calcutta. And what you did, Prabhupada, you went to Calcutta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur replied on his Vyasa Puja day, he said, no, I never went to Calcutta. She never went to Calcutta. The first temple of Gauriya Math is in Calcutta. He said, to you may be seeing this. I only went where my Guru Maharaj's lotus feet is adored more and needed more. To you, maybe it was Calcutta, but to me, I only carried the shoes of my Guru, lotus feet of my Guru. I did not go anywhere without it. Wherever it is needed the most, I only went there. So his view is different than the rest of the disciple at that time. Then they ask, how come your Gurudev said not to make so many disciples? We are all your disciples. You made thousands and thousands of disciples. He said, oh no, I only have 4 disciples. My 2 hands and 2 legs. That's all. I don't have any other disciples. Then they say, we are your disciples. He said, no, you all are representative of my Guru Maharaj. And our Prabhupada also used the same terminology. He said many times, you all are representative of my Guru Maharaj. He said, you are not my disciple. I don't have ability to create disciple. It is my Guru Maharaj made you disciple. So they offer everything. So when we come to that stage in a constitutional position as a really servant with sambandhagyan and serving, we are instantly liberated. Whatever the follow Shruti says, it will happen. But we are sometimes in a conditional sense, sensual perception, thinking, willing, feeling, vibrating in sensual perception, thinking, willing, feeling, vibrating in a mental perception, thinking, willing, feeling, vibrating in an intellectual perception. We become cognitional, we become mental, we become sensual. It depends where thinking, willing, feeling. But it's all coming from the soul. If that thinking, willing, feeling comes from, vibrates at the constitutional position as a servant with that relationship, then it is pure, 100% pure bhakti. Soul is positioned as a pure. Soul doesn't need to become pure. Soul has to get out of the conditioning. We have a love for Krishna within our heart. But we have to revive it. So that's taking, that's a vast subject matter. I don't know, I hope I could give you some tips that it is not that what the follow Shruti is saying, not acting. It is acting, but the person it says that you will see a beautiful lake, but if I have a red glasses, I'm seeing a red lake. I'm not seeing it like a regular water lake. So things we don't see as a constitutional servant, but we see through our mind, through our senses, through our false ego filtering, then it is difficult. But still, eventually, it is going to take place. Why? Just like Prabhupada says, you are in America, now you are in Radhakund. At least you are here. You may not be seeing that affecting immediately, but if you keep on going, it will eventually, you will go into deeper. And you know the story of beautiful story given Gokarna and Gokarna story very nicely given that verse in second canto, Sinnata Sadhaya Nittam Grinanta Sasa Cheskitam Kalena Nati Dirgana Bhagavan Vishate Ridhi. That when the Vaikuntha Vishnu Duta came to pick up these bad cousins of Gokarna, Dundukari, his name, he was so miserable condition because of his sinful nature. He used to kill children, his friend, when he was a child. He would throw them in a well or choke them under water. He killed a child, even as a child. He was such a bad. And anyway, his life story is horrible. And he could not be delivered. But then, in the Bhagavatam discourse, it says anybody heard this Bhagavatam will go back home, back to Godhead. But the end of the 7 days, only one Biman, or what they call, Vaikuntha airplane came. So then they saw immediately before that Narayan appeared. So everybody paid obeisances. And then that soul, they consider Narayan, said, no, I'm not Narayan. I am your brother, Dundukari. Dundukari, how can you be? You are the bad guy who got killed and now you are in a ghost body. He said, no, I just got liberated. I got a spiritual body like Narayan. That's why the airplane has come to take me. So then all the villagers and the speaker, his brother, who was an advanced sadhu, pure devotee, he said, wait a minute. Vaikuntha Dut, please, everybody listen the same Bhagavatam. Why Dundukari is getting liberated and we are not? What about me? I was also trying. Then the Vishnu Dutta answered, Srinata Saddaya Nittam. He did three things, and the rest of the villager did not do these three things. What did he do? Says Srinata Saddaya Nittam. When he heard, as a ghost, he was getting tortured, he was hearing with faith. He believed in you. Srinata Saddaya Nittam. And he was listening every day, and he was contemplating. As a ghost body, he did not go for food or anything else. Whole day, whole night, whatever he heard, whenever it stopped, he went contemplation. But every evening, when it stopped, all the villagers went home, they went back to their own thing, they forgot everything what was in the Bhagavatam. Srinata Saddaya, and they did not have faith enough. They just heard it's a good thing, let's hear, that's all. They didn't even think what the result supposed to be. Grinantasya, the big word, that he accepted what he heard from you, and he contemplated, he reflected, he assimilated, because he did these three things. He heard, he had a faith, and he contemplated, reflected, assimilated. Prabhupada gave a beautiful purport on that. And so he is eligible to go. Then all the villagers said, well, we want to go back home, we don't own this miserable world. So they did again. At that time, of course, they became very sincere. And those who became very sincere, they saw thousands of airplanes came and gone. So result comes, but it has to come from within us, that intensity, to see that result. This is one example. I hope that helps you some.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much for your
explanations. And from what you just explained, I understand that we need to be also pure and that much surrendered for the Phalashruti to come true. And again, I wish to thank you, Prabhuji, for so patiently and clearly explaining everything. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mata. Any other?
Yes, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yes, I too was so grateful for that question answer session there. I do have a couple of questions myself, but if I could just follow up on a couple of your answers there. Concerning this, this Phalashruti subject, when you were saying that, well, the results depend on my faith on what I am hearing, at first I was thinking, well, truth is truth regardless of whether I believe it or not. But I think by the end of your talk, I was thinking, well, we might not see the results even if we're hearing, if we don't act on what we're hearing. Having faith, the reason why faith is important is that if you have faith, then you'll not just hear it, you will also act on it. You have to first hear the thing properly, not in a distorted way, and then you act on it. Is that the idea, Prabhu?
Yes, Mother. It is something like, practically we can see, just like if I ask you, do you know your grandfather's name? And I'm sure you're going to say, yes, I do know his name. Now, when we say that Sanatan Goswami Pad's grandfather name, today I did mention, I don't know how many devotees really remember. I said Mukunda Dev, his son is Kumar Dev, his son is Sanatan Goswami. Now, whether somebody will remember, now if say, well, how do we have to remember? Because we don't feel a relationship with him. If we have a relationship, because you have a relationship with your grandfather, you remember his name. So because I don't have a relationship with Sanatan Goswami Pad in my family who gave me the Sambandha Gyan, if we don't have that relationship is established in the heart, then it will be difficult to remember Sanatan Shiksha or teaching of Sanatan Goswami. But you will remember, if you spend your time with your grandfather, you will remember. Why? Because that relationship was very strongly bonded in the heart. So when we have a relationship with Bhagavatam, when we have a relationship with Chaitanya Charitamrita through our Guru, that time we can actually get effect tremendous in our heart. Without relationship, but relationship is not something, I don't mean in a rude way, but you cannot fall in love with somebody just by reading his bio profile. How would you know somebody's nature, if somebody say? How do you know that person's nature, that person's character? That's not just by reading bio. We are reading, we are hearing, that doesn't mean we know. You want to know the nature of Krishna, nature of Guru? We have to actually have a relationship. Without relationship, just the bio profile is not enough. But we should hear, but also we should try to establish the relationship. When you have a relationship, you will know the person's nature. You will know the quality of that person. Then your Sambandha Gyan is establishing.
Well, can you elaborate then on your use of this word relationship in this context?
What I'm trying to say that when you have a just like for an example, we hear about Krishna and Mother Rukmini Devi also heard about Krishna. But what she contemplated in her heart, even though she never saw Krishna before she married, she never saw Krishna. Then she heard it from Narad Muni. She heard it at one point. She said, well, how is his caring for his relatives? And then Narad Muni explains so nicely how he is Bhakta Vatsal, like he ever causes suffering to the devotee. No, absolutely not. He's all good. So she inquired, she convinced herself, she came to a point, I'm not going to marry anybody but him. She made a commitment. When we make commitment in our spiritual life, does not matter I'm sick or not sick, I'm going to chant every day. I took a vow. I will stick to that commitment. That commitment, when we make, itself is a happiness. But we have an opposition within us called mind. Mind will immediately challenge, put you in sick. I remember even few weeks back, I had a mucus heavy. I don't get sick like this, but once in a while it comes, like once a year, I think. It's like I could not even breathe in the temple. Like we chant there 2-3 hours just by sitting there. And I could not breathe. So I started breathing through the mouth, but it was so hard, I remember. But I took a vow. I'm not bragging about it, but I'm telling you practically how we see. I said, I'm not going to stop. I am going to serve the holy name. I came to serve, and I'm going to serve. If I leave the body, it's fine. So I kept on going. It lasted 2 days, and then it disappears. So challenges come, but are we being shaken? You know, if there is no test, how your love will be tested? If there is no challenge, how your love will be tested? That's question comes. So Rukmini Devi, she developed strong commitment. She made a commitment and she told, and her father came, says, your brother lives in the same house. She doesn't want you to think about Krishna. She wants you to marry Shishupal. And we can apply in our life. She knows that her father cares for her. We also know some devotee cares for my spiritual life. And some devotee don't care. Some person may not care. So Rukmi, her brother, does not care for her thinking of Krishna. Because he's the elder brother, he made a big announcement. Our sister Rukmini going to marry Shishupal. That's it. And the whole country should arrange that wedding party. So on the wedding day, Krishna came, not knowing, nobody knew that he will come. It is because of the love letter she wrote. And she had a strong faith. She even wrote in the letter. You can read that letter. Beautiful love letter. He said, I know that I'm not qualified. But if you don't come, of course she gave a metaphor. I am like a food. You are like a lion. I am lion's food. But jackals are there. They want to eat lion's food. And I don't think you should allow it. It's a metaphor she gave, her express her feeling. Who she is. And then she said, if you don't come, I will not give up. I will take million life to do austerity to get you. You are the only one I decided, and I'm going to stick to it. As soon as she made it, oh my God, how much opposition came. Her brother making a big party for the whole country, and even security guard, do not allow Krishna Balaram or anybody to come. Only allow those selected royal king and prince just to witness Shishupal's wedding. And it was like a opposition. Why are opposition in the same house? So she was maintaining her life, becoming stronger attached to Krishna and not to fight with the brother. Because if you fight with the brother, then brother will find out, oh no, she's going to mess up this wedding. And he may create a more problem. So my question is, the relationship with Krishna is not easy way. You know, in a funny way, in our village, it's a joke I'm going to tell you. One girl came, actually my friend told me this. One girl came to a handsome boy. He said, hey, marry me. He said, what? Who are you? I don't even know you. He said, doesn't matter, you marry me. So why should I marry you? He said, because nobody else married me yet. I said, wait a minute, this is not the logic that nobody married you, so I have to marry you. I don't even know your name. I don't even have any relationship, anything. So if we apply this, oh, because I didn't get love of Godhead, oh, then probably it doesn't work. But the relationship is not like this. You know, just by hearing, we'll get the relationship. We have to really invest our emotion. We have to really pray. We have to really be serious and think analytically. Oh, Krishna, please, can you accept me? Please, I know I'm not a good person. Do I feel that I'm not a good person? Towards absolute truth, who is everything, unlimited. Just to be his friend or servant or lover, that easy? Can I come with that humility? If we reflect all this, then slowly, slowly relationship will be established. Just by hearing, okay, we are servant of Krishna, now Krishna, you should just like me. I'm your, you know, lover, beloved. No, relationship is not like this. I mean, the girl said a nice thing. She said, you know, nobody married me, so you should marry me. And the boy gave a good answer too. I don't even know you. Who are you? And why should I marry you? He said, because nobody married me yet. Well, that's not a relationship. When we say, why not? Krishna is my master. Mahaprabhu says, I'm a servant. Now he should love me, protect me. Wait a minute. That's not a relationship. This is a logic argument. I don't know. Did I go too far?
No. This is great.
So practically I'm saying, relationship is a serious business. Once you have a relationship, you never break it, because he is eternal, I am eternal, he is eternal, relationship is bond.
So, when you said that, you know, if we had relationship with, I guess, Lord Chaitanya Krishna, we would have remembered Sanatana Goswami's grandfather, it means that it would have mattered more to us, because
yes,
we have invested in that.
Correct. I mean, let me ask you, mother. Do you remember your grandfather's name?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Why you remember grandfather's name? Because you had so many maybe memory or some, you know, so many things you are attached to. So something like that.
Yeah, so just relating this answer to why we, just remembering the question again, that that when we hear the Shastra, and the Shastra is making these extraordinary claims, and you say that, you know, we need to have faith in the Shastra and hear it properly. I'm trying to relate that answer to this discourse on, you know, our need to develop a relationship. I'm trying to connect the dots.
Yes. There's a verse in second canto. Srinata sadhaya nittam, grinanta sa sa chestitam. kalena nati dirgena bhagavan visati ridi. In that sloka, it says that in order to get the result, these three things is required. That we should continuously hearing, we should have a faith, what we hear, it's true, we should accept it. Now if you accept it, you would not forget it. Just like you accepted your grandfather and his name, you don't forget because of this. Like my mother, you cannot pay me any amount for me to forget my mother's love. She was such a affectionate to me. This is just me. So, similarly, when we have a faith, faith means it's not like, well, I had a faith yesterday, but today I doubt. This is not a faith. This is like a pretentious, you know. Faith is a very strong word. Shraddha means just like you believe you live in America. And then you say, how do you believe you live in America? We're just talking over the phone. Well, I can prove you. If you fly here, you can see. Well, but that doesn't mean that land is there, America. Well, you can see from the outside, America, from the sky, that this island is known as America. So you have so many things to back up. You can never disprove that you are not in America. So similarly, when we say we have a faith, it will never be shaken. Faith means Shraddha. Shraddha. What consciously you are holding. Not just maintaining a belief, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, maintaining a belief.
It's more like your experience.
Yes. Like you live in America. Okay, you believe that. But you can prove it so many ways. No, you don't even think like that. That I have to prove, like, actually, mm-hmm. how do I know I live in America? You don't, mm-hmm. because it is accepted that you will never give up this idea that you don't live in America. You live in America, you live in America. And you believe that. That is faith. Similarly, when we say, well, you know, I had a faith in the holy name, but now I don't chant because I don't know. Well, how is possible you had a faith? Means it was not a really fixed faith. Mm-hmm. Something semblance, you know, something, some idea is there. Faith is a Shraddha. Shraddha means consciousness, chetan. Dha means you are holding it. You are holding that it never can be taken. Shraddha, the faith is eternal also. Even when somebody say, I have a faith, I don't believe anything. That is his faith. Faith itself is eternal. You follow? Faith doesn't mean only when you believe in God, that is faith. Faith means a consciousness you hold in your heart. So when somebody say, like that one professor one time told me, what, I don't believe anything. I said, that's your faith. Why you say faith? Well, that's what faith in Sanskrit means. Faith means you maintain that belief that you don't want to believe God. That is your faith.
Boy, that was a beautiful definition of faith. Consciousness that you hold in your heart.
Yes. Well, that's what what I understand from our Acharya. It says, Sraddhatu anna upaya bharjanam bhakti unmukhi chitta vritti. Chitta vritti, function of the heart, consciousness, where your consciousness believe, maintain a belief. Whether believing in Krishna or not believing in Krishna, still it is a faith. Faith is eternal.
Yeah, this was great. also, one thing about the lotus feet thing that you were describing, how, you know, you were describing, I'm sorry, you're describing the lotus feet as, you know, like an access point to Krishna's mercy or Guru's mercy. And so, you know, I was once hearing Jayavaita Maharaj, he was saying that people come and they always want to touch, you know, the sadhu's feet, you know, they just want to touch and get mercy, touch, get mercy. But he was like, you know, that's like annoying because the real thing is, the real principle behind touching the lotus feet of the guru is to follow the instructions of the guru. So, so I'm wondering, you know, how literal is this concept of touching the lotus feet, or should the emphasis not be on following the instructions, you know, becoming attached to the instructions of Sadhu and Guru and Krishna?
When lotus feet of Krishna is actually found in the heart of Sadhu. When we say lotus feet of Krishna, the four result you're supposed to get. Asoka abhaya amrita adhara tumara charana dai tahate ekhano vishama lobhya charinu bhavera bhai. That our Acharya also in Chaitanya Charitamrita this explained that asoka abhaya, all your lamentation should be disappearing. That means you are connected with the lotus feet. Krishna is all pervasive. He is also personal in a limited form. Same time, he is also simultaneously, he is also all pervasive. He is not like Krishna, he is only limited, and his another expansion, Brahman, is unlimited. No, no, both are simultaneously. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti sabdate, vadanti tat tattvidas, tattam jat gyanam addayam. Addayam means non-dual. It cannot be two. It's one. One Krishna in your altar, same time he is also in your heart, same time he is all over New York, he is also all over the world, all over the spiritual world. Same Krishna, simultaneously. This is inconceivable. We cannot, but we have to accept that understanding. So, when you are connected with Krishna, that means your lamentation, that your anxiety, worry, these things are supposed to be disappeared. So when you feel that those things doesn't bother you, that means you are connecting with Krishna's lotus feet. Asoka, abhaya. Abhaya means your fear of the material existence disappearing. Some devotee says, oh, we are just thinking, we are just talking about you, you just appeared. That means you live a long life. I said, I'm not interested of living a long life because I'm eternal. Why should I be interested for long life? Eternal is eternal. Why focus on the long life? it's a reality. You know, it's a reality. What am I focusing? Long life. What long life? We are eternal. We never die. The body will change. Just like Narad Muni said, why not we become like this that we can see our body changing, another spiritual body just develop same time. We don't need to worry about it. Mm-hmm. So, something like that. Then, abhaya, amrita. Amrita means you will be feeling, actually I'm satisfied. I don't need anything of this world. This feeling will come. It is a reality. Somebody asked me, do you feel like this? I say, if I tell you, how do you know? Because the experience of satisfaction is not to be, you cannot share it. It is not shareable. Even materially, just like, you know, I told my friend, I said, I cannot eat for you. If you are hungry, you have to go eat. If you say, just eat for me so I'll be not hungry, it doesn't work that way. Spiritual happiness is individual. So it's asuka abhaya amrita. Amrita means where you will relish Krishna consciousness every moment in your life. And adhara. Adhara means you are firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. There is no shaking. When challenges come, your love for Krishna only increases. Like a fire gets a strong wind, it makes the fire bigger, not smaller. something like this. So these four results you're supposed to get when you are connected with the lotus feet. So each individual of us, we can check how much we have one of those four. So proportion to that, we are connected to the lotus feet.
Okay. You know, when you said, thank you so much for that, that was wonderful.
You are welcome, Mother.
You know, when you were talking about the fact that Lord Chaitanya taught us Krishna consciousness through four principal teachers, right? I think one was Sanatana Goswami. Another
yes.
was Ramananda Roy. another was Damodar somebody. Which Damodar was that?
Damodar Pandit.
Okay.
Criticism. It's not something we discuss much. Generally, we avoid criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But criticism is a one quality actually attracts Krishna. When we criticize our own defects, it actually draws attention of Krishna. And the proof is Sarvam Bhattacharya. Sarvam Bhattacharya, when, let me see if I can, if Krishna reminds me. It says, Atmaninda Kari, yes, Sarvam Bhattacharya says this, Darshandite Prabhur Hoila Man. In Madhalila chapter 6, at the middle to end, one of the verses, it says, Atmaninda Kari Kailas Prabhura Saran. That when Sarvam Bhattacharya criticized his own character, he says, how audacity I had that I was challenging this great personality, because what I expressed, the 9 explanation on Atmaram Bhart, nobody in the entire creation can do this. But now this person, he explained double, 18 explanation without touching any of mine. He must be Supreme Absolute Truth. It is not possible any human being, any intelligent in spirit, even heaven, because he, Sarvam Bhattacharya, is an incarnation of Brihaspati. He said, it's impossible somebody. So he criticized, how dare I was thinking I have to teach him. I'm so bad, I am so proud. And he started blaspheming himself. He said, I'm so proud. Why I have this harsh, hard heart? Why I don't have a soft heart? Why I could not adore this personality? And he started crying and criticizing himself. Seeing this, Mahaprabhu's heart changed. Mahaprabhu immediately gave him darshan, that he is the absolute truth. So criticism is good, so long it brings us to Krishna. But if I am only criticizing myself, I am bad, I am fallen, I don't know, I cannot chant, and I'm talking about myself, 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 I'm not coming to Krishna, then it is self-pity. It is not a humility. That
yeah.
criticism is not good.
Yeah, because that's self-absorption.
Right? Yes.
And it sounds like
so that was the
mode of ignorance, right? But
yes.
the fourth person, was it not? Because the reason why I had this question was because I didn't hear Rupa Goswami in the list.
No.
That's why I was so surprised.
It was Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur.
Yeah, Haridas Thakur, right.
Forbearing.
I mean, Rupa Goswami is like our principal teacher, isn't he?
He's a principal teacher on Abhideya, how to gain, how to get the love of Godhead, yes.
So these four, I mean, how would you describe the list under which, you know, because I don't understand how, you understand my question?
You know, you can think like this, that one police officer is so good on hostile cases to break it. And he's very good. And he goes there with other officer and he takes care of this. Another officer is good when there is a chase, you know, car, some or other, don't want to stop, and he's good. Immediately they're calling, where is that? Oh, there, okay, he's some or other goes, and he knows how to curtail or some way to get that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Each officer is different, because I have a close friend who is a sheriff. He tells me sometimes this. And but in the report, it says, the sheriff does not say the deputy sheriff, says sheriff, Mr. O'Neill, through his deputy sheriff, this he got this, this he got this, this. So, but actually sheriff didn't do anything in one sense. But another sense, actually sheriff is the one who decide who will do what. So it's a combination effort. Rupa Goswami Pad, he understood Mahaprabhu. And Rupa Goswami Pad, what Sanatana Goswami Pad has given, he made the connection between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sambandha Gyan. So Rupa Goswami Pad is prominent, but without Sambandha Gyan, Rupa Goswami Pad philosophy will not be effective.
So,
I mean, generally, you think in the society, if you see a brahmana, oh, very nice, he is compared to the head. But if there is no leg, there is no sudra, how the brahmana will go to another place? How is he going to walk? So all four are required. So similarly, Rupa Goswami Pad is required with all four of them. But a particular cases like Haridas Thakur, like if you take shelter fully to the holy name, is the holy name going to protect me? How much it will protect? And when it will not protect? Well, Haridas Thakur proved it. Khanda khanda hai jodi jai deho pran tobu ami badane na chari hari naam. He says every part of my body can fall to a part. It can separate from me. I will not give up chanting. Wow. This kind of commitment. Yes, Mahaprabhu proved it. And Rupa Goswami Pad says, why? Haridas Thakur did this. Because he was tasting. The holy name is Namanande Dehasud Nahoy Prakash. Rupa Goswami Pad is explaining that Namanande, Ananda, the happiness he got from the holy name, he is not even aware that his body is falling apart. So Rupa Goswami Pad is there. But the exhibition was displayed by Haridas Thakur. So like that. Rupa Goswami Pad is the main, but these four principle was established by these four persons.
So in the analogy you were giving before, is Rupa Goswami like the sheriff?
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, Damodar Pandit, he was the, let's say, representative of self-criticism, constructive self-criticism, right?
Yes. He criticized Lord Chaitanya, actually. He criticized Lord Chaitanya because you know that story, that Lord Chaitanya had an affection for a young boy, who would come and chit-chat with Mahaprabhu, but only problem was that his mother was a widow and she was extremely beautiful. So when widow's son likes a sannyasi and sannyasi spend time, the people in the village will talk.
Mm-hmm.
Till today, why 500 years back? Till today. If any sannyasi is talking with a boy whose mother is very beautiful and young and widow, people will not like it. I will not like it. I tell you honestly. I will just give the sannyasi a warning. Maharaj, maybe you should not spend so much time with this boy talking because his mother is very beautiful and widow and people will spread rumors. So he did that. He told, then Mahaprabhu established, he said, yes, this can be utilized. Then he sent him to Mother Sachi's place to guard. Nobody comes there. Because Mother Vishnupriya is there, Singhal, and Mother Sachi, of course, they are always protected by Jogamaya. But to establish that principle, their sannyasi should not talk to a female in a solitary place. Sannyasi, but sannyasi should respect the female. Sannyasi should not see her less because it's a soul that he's respecting, and the Lord is in the heart of that Mataji. So he should have an equal respect like a Prabhuji and Mataji, because they are all belongs to Krishna. But at the same time, because we are conditioned sometimes, this body, sannyas doesn't mean transcendental, supposed to be, but sannyas means an ashram. He took a shelter of that ashram where he feels more safe to serve better. So, but there is a restriction. So Sanatan Damodar Pandit was giving this restriction for a sannyas. He should not meet, talk to a privately to a. I know because I do some mentoring sometimes, some sannyas candidates. And I see some of the answer that the candidate gives is like far out, and some answer gives, no, this is not proper. Because in our society, 50% or maybe more is Mataji, and we should equally respect them and encourage them also to go on spiritual life. But there is a boundary, how far sannyas, what sannyasi can talk. Just like a husband, or I should say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Bhakta Loka, one book, that Grihastha can talk about making money, business, and it is part of Krishna consciousness, because he has to maintain his Krishna conscious family. Now, if sannyasi is thinking how to make money, that is not good. That is not good. So, something like that. And Damodar Pandit was very good at it.
He was very good at what?
Keeping discipline.
Oh.
Whoever needs how much. You know, if somebody is brahmachari, they should not flirt with a young gurukuli girl.
Oh, okay.
Because he cannot advance by that way. He should be always sincere and honest. In my own life, I see that. This is required. We should be always thoroughly honest. If I have some disease in my heart, lust or whatever, it has to be purified. One of the way of getting married, one of the way to completely dedicate. But if I'm not capable, then go in the other route. But we should be honest thoroughly. No, humulation or no dupliciousness.
So Damodar Pandit, let's say he was, acharya for keeping the discipline among the ashrams, let's say.
Yes, Haridas
Thakur, he's the acharya for chanting, of course. So what would we say that...
You can say dependence on holy name.
Dependence
that
on
holy name protects, yes.
Okay.
Tolerance also, Prabhu?
Sorry?
Was Haridas Thakur also known for the tolerance aspect?
No, dependence. Dependence on chanting.
Forbearance, tolerance, dependence, yes.
Okay. And then the other two, Ramananda Roy, he was acharya for what? Sanatan was acharya for what?
If you think at present, I don't know, mothers, you all go to Vrindavan or not, or Mayapur. If you go to Vrindavan, till today you'll see there's so many people takes a Paramahansa dress, but sometimes their behavior is lustful grihastha. Paramahansa dress does not flirt with Matajis. But I saw myself even. I'm not trying to criticize, but I can relate why. So there was a person, his name is Upendra Mishra, an associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I give you a short story of that 1 minute, that he came to Mahaprabhu to hear Harikatha, Krishna Katha. He said, you are such an advanced, you please let me hear some Krishna Katha. He said, I do not know anything much, but only I can tell you what I heard from Ramananda Roy. And if you really want to be benefited and you want to hear, you should go see Ramananda Roy. So he went there, and he was waiting and waiting and waiting for hours. And he saw the activity of Ramananda Roy. He was completely disappointed, he felt. So he came back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "So, you heard very nicely?" He said, "No." He said, "Oh, what happened?" He said, "First of all, I lost my faith." He said, "How did you lose your faith?" He said, "By seeing his activities." What was he doing? Oh, he was touching the young girl's body, teaching them how to have a dancing posture to play this drama for Jagannath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "So what is your conclusion?" He said, "You are sannyasi, you are advanced, you don't have anything." He says, "He is more advanced, renowned than myself. Because he is with those Matajis, but he has no inclination, no interest of exploitation. That's why he is qualified to teach them how to please Krishna in the play that they are going to perform. And he's holding their hand, go like this, dancing posture like this. It only he can do." So Srila Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, he asked that question to Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. That Rupa Goswami Pad was the emblem of renunciation also. And Ramananda Rai also emblem of renunciation. But how to understand between these two? Because Rupa Goswami Pad like gave up everything, isolated apparently in Vrindavan with all his intimate associate of Goswamis. And Ramananda Rai, he was with the family, he was with his family and doing everything, but he's also very intimate, very close. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exact sentence. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told to our Prabhupada, he said, just like a married lady who, when her husband is at home, she is very nicely dress herself, put on jewelry, and shows her beauty to the husband to serve him. But when husband goes away to foreign land for a business or something, she does not dress well at all because she does not have any interest to attract anybody. So it is a question of utility. Utility-wise, Ramananda Rai and Rupa Goswami Pad, there is no difference. But Ramananda Rai, people can understand because most of the devotees are grihastha, and they can see that, oh, we can actually, when we attach to Krishna, we don't have to give up our family or anything. Our attachment to Krishna can always protect us. We will never be deviated. Ramananda Rai was not less than Rupa Goswami Pad. That he proved through Ramananda Rai, Sanatana Goswami Pad. So he told Upendra Mishra that what you saw, that you saw external things, you do not know Ramananda Rai. Rather, go back home, him again. So he went next day. And that day, Ramananda Rai saw that he came again, and he apologized. He said, "I'm so sorry, I was trying to teach all these Devdasi in Jagannath Puri how to perform this beautiful play for Jagannath's pleasure. So I could not stop. But I'm sorry I kept you waiting whole day." He apologized. He said, "No, no, please, please, I came just for that, to hear about Krishna Katha." So he noticed, he started speaking to him for hours. Breakfast time, the servant came. Ramananda Rai was from a royal family, and the servant came. But he kept on speaking. He did not stop. Lunch, whole day passed. Lunch, it's still going on. Braja Katha. So emotional. And Upendra Mishra realized, oh my God, I never ever could hear or saw a person such a advanced. But he's a grihastha. he fell completely flat, Dandavat, and he apologized and he cried. Later on, of course, he came back to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu says, "Have you heard?" He said, "Yes. I never could imagine somebody can be that advanced as a Grihastha." Till today, in our society, we think sannyasis are the only advanced. The Matajis or Grihasthas cannot be. It is a wrong conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever has a bhakti, we respect them according to bhakti, not according to their external dress. Otherwise, we may be misguided sometimes. Possible. So that Ramananda Rai has established that position, that yes, bhakti is important, not what dress you have.
Yeah, and just relating it to the analogy of the wife who would dress nicely for her husband only, but outside, I'm just trying to correlate the two.
This is Mahaprabhu even told to Rupa Goswami Pad, actually, before they met. Are you there?
Yeah. I was just, okay. In my own head, I was just trying to make the correlation between that analogy and Ramananda Roy's. Because Ramananda Roy's story, you know, it demonstrates his, you know, the chastity of his consciousness.
To Krishna.
Yeah.
Has no effect with the material exposition of female-male, yes. But generally, if you go to Vrindavan, you'll see those Babajis. I mean, there are many advanced. I'm not saying that they're not. Some are very advanced, but some are just joined, and you can see they immediately got Paramahansa dress. But Paramahansa dress is above sannyas, the last part of the sannyas. There's the four stages of sannyas, Kutichak, Bahudak, Paribrajak, Paramahansa. Paramahansa is so advanced, but they act. They even like they're joking with the grihasthas and flirting with the family people. This is not a Paramahansa. Paramahansa is very elevated stage. So that's why that question will be always there, that who is advanced. But people also go for the dress sometimes. It is still there. It will be there, I guess, always.
Okay. Prabhu, we have one more. Sanatan Goswami, how about him?
Sanatan Goswami is the humility. You can read about Sanatan Goswami that when Mahaprabhu, many incidents, I'm not going to tell the whole story, it's a long story, that how Mahaprabhu taught through Sanatan Goswami Pad few things. One was that he invited him for lunch. And he took long time to come to lunch. Why? Because he did not want to walk through where the Brahmanas live, and he didn't, because he always think he's coming from a Muslim family. So that's a, and he tolerated all this hot sun burning, you know. And then the blister things, how he felt that I'm giving pain to Mahaprabhu, he embraced me. All this, many, many examples from beginning even, the first meeting. Second meeting in Benares, that how humility was taught by Sanatana Goswami is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Even at one point, Mahaprabhu says, "So you know Krishna, you have love for Krishna." Sanatana Goswami says, "I do not know Krishna. I do not have any idea about Radha Krishna. But I know you who gave me this asset. Without you, I was in darkness." We should feel like this. When a Vaishnava or Guru illuminates our heart, we should be thanking them. "Look, I don't know Krishna, but you, Guru Maharaj, you, Prabhupada, awakening me, I appreciate, I thank you so much." We should be grateful to Prabhupada every moment through your writings. I'm getting illuminated. I don't know who Krishna is. I'm hearing Krishna is my supreme object of love, but I have no idea. It is you who is making me. So through your writing, I'm hearing you. I love you. I appreciate you, Prabhupada. Like this, It is required. Sanatana Goswami Path shows the exact humility. What is the symptom of humility? And all the stories you can read. It's wonderful.
Yeah. They were familiar. The ones you were saying, they were familiar. Yeah, it was wonderful.
Thank you, Mother.
Which one was the prime minister? Which one was the secretary? Sanatana was secretary or prime minister?
He was the prime minister.
Oh, Sanatana was the prime minister. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, and then, I mean, this last thing, you know, when you were describing that, you know, it could be confusing because two of our acharyas, they had the same name in Krishna Leela, Rati Manjari.
Yes. Sanatana. If you have a book called, it is actually available online, I saw, Gaur Ganadev Deepika.
Uh-huh.
Gaur Ganadev Deepika, text 181 and 182. It tells you, I try to memorize that verse, Ja Rupa Manjari Presta Pura Shidrati Manjari Satchate Nama Bhedena Labanga Manjari Budei Sadhav Gaura Vinnatanu Sarvaradha Sanatana Tameva Prabhishat Karjam. Gaur Ganadev Deepika is a very beautiful book. So he says that who was previous pastime in Krishna Lila, Rupa Manjari is very dear, Rati Manjari. He is Sanatana Goswami, but then you can translate, let me see. It says, Rupa Manjari Prasta, Pura Shri Dhruti Manjari. So, you can say that who is very dear to Rupa Manjari is the Rati Manjari, is Sanatana Goswami, but then it says that some intelligent persons, means others, they are intelligent also, they actually address him as a Labanga Manjari. They see him as a Labanga Manjari. And I'm not going to go to that route today because each Manjari is not just name. A name itself means a particular service they are connected with Srimati Radharani.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But my question was that, you know, you said that, you know, well, Sanatana Goswami is Rati Manjari, but there is another person who's also known as Rati Manjari. So as to
Raghunath Das Goswami.
Oh. Okay, and so because Raghunath Das Goswami is also Rati Manjari, then Sanatana became known as Lavanga Manjari? That's the idea?
Yes.
Okay, that was it.
Because I come from a condition of place, it's very, very difficult. So I keep it like a separate, then it's easier to remember. Otherwise, if you say, which Rati Manjari? Who is it, Raghunath or so? Then it's another discussion. So I keep it separate, that's why it's easier for to remember.
Okay, Prabhu. Well, you've been extremely
thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna. Yes, ma'am.
Jai Prabhu. Hare Bo. Hare Krishna. I had a question about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And I'm not going to be able to ask it right now because I'm at an appointment.
Okay.
And they just called my name just a moment ago. But I wanted to find out, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was he honored the Grihastha Ashram, right? And so he was never sannyas, was he?
What did he say, the last part?
I was just wondering, you know, he was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati for his father, right?
Yes.
And but he never took sannyas like Srila Prabhupada.
Sannyas, there is a four types of sannyas, and
mm-hmm.
he took sannyas best, mm-hmm. The last stage of sannyas. He took it just few mm-hmm. years before he left this world. He did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's Thank called Vyasa Dharan. Vyasa Dharan, last stage.
It's called what again?
Thank you. Vyasa. Vyas means dress or uniform, something like that.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare
Thank
Bo.
You, Mata. Hare Krishna. Any other, or we end here, or?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can end now. Thank you, all the devotees,
okay.
for joining.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Banchad. Let us pay our respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, who can fulfill the desire of everyone just like desire tree, and who are full of compassion for the fallen conditions.
Banchad.
Banchad. Banchad. Banchad. Banchad. Banchad.